Welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. This is the post-game podcast, and a win is a win, right? I don't think that's what we should be saying four games before the playoffs. The Timberwolves held on to beat the Rockets on Sunday. It wasn't pretty. A fantastic offensive first half, a defensive meltdown, and really a meltdown at both ends of the court in the second half. This thing was closer than it should have been. We're going to break down what happened. I'll tell you what the biggest issue was in this game and what we can take from it that was positive from the Wolves win over the Rockets. We're going to break it all down on the post-game pod. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. Happy Monday, everybody. It's a victory Monday. However, unsatisfying this victory Monday is. We're going to break down Wolves Rockets from Sunday here. This is the post-game podcast. And it was a win. It wasn't a great win. There's still a positive takeaway, though. I want to start with the positive takeaway. We'll get into some of the other takeaways before we do individual studs and duds. First, though, a big thank you for making Locked on Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, Locked on Wolves is free and available everywhere you get podcasts. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. Anywhere you get podcasts, you can find Locked on Wolves. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked on T-Wolves. And my account, which is at BBeacon, and that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, as mentioned, Wolves beat the Rockets on Sunday by 7. This is the postgame podcast, so we're going to break it all down. I want to start with the positive takeaway from this game, because there is one. They won, right? They won by 7. I want to talk about the Timberwolves offense, because it was legitimately impressive outside of a little bit of a second half meltdown we'll get to here in a little bit, but I want to talk about how impressive the first half was for the Wolves. The Timberwolves came into this game, obviously still the best offense in the league, really, since the first of the year, I think by almost any measure. It's like the Timberwolves and the Celtics, and I believe the Wolves are still one in most offensive efficiency metrics since really early mid-January. No Patrick Beverley in this game. He sat out with the ankle issue. Obviously still no Jaden McDaniels. Malik Beasley, of course, is playing again now. He just missed a couple of games and was back on Friday in Friday's win as well. So Malik Beasley was in the starting lineup, and there's a couple of things that I want to point to. One, playing Malik Beasley with Karl-Anthony Towns, and this is a topic I want to get to later in the week as well. If we look at some different two and three man lineups, I haven't done that in a little while, but putting Malik Beasley on the floor really does seem to help make Towns that much more effective. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns has been phenomenal, obviously, all season and especially the last several weeks. But in this game in particular, early in the game, when the Houston Rockets were sending an extra defender at Karl-Anthony Towns, which teams always do, Malik Beasley was spacing the floor. And even though he actually didn't, as a whole, have a great game, he had a couple of bad air balls, wasn't very great defensively, but just that element of the quick release of Malik Beasley, the threat of Malik Beasley is still greater, even though Patrick Beverley is a solid three-point shooter and for his career is a very good three-point shooter. I think underrated. Just listen to watch league pass and opposing announcers don't seem to grasp the fact that Patrick Beverley is an above average three-point shooter for his career, but he's a little bit more of a hesitant three-point shooter than Malik Beasley, or at least it takes him longer to decide to shoot and then to actually shoot. Malik Beasley, quick decision-making, which for him is often just a hair trigger release, right? As soon as Beasley catches the ball, it's going up at the rim. And that impacts it, how a defense is able to play. And that was really evident early in this game. The Timberwolves absolutely dominated the first half. They had 80 points in the first half. It used to be 70 is kind of like, oh man, that was a crazy first half. Now it's 80. The Timberwolves scored 80 first half points in this game. They shot 66% from the field in the first half, and they were over 70% with just a few minutes to play in the first half. There was like 4 minutes left. They were still over 70% shooting. They actually lost the free throw battle in the first half. So this wasn't a parade to the free throw line. It wasn't a parade of D'Angelo Russell rip through moves after the Wolves got in the bonus. This was Karl-Anthony Towns dominating the first quarter. another big first quarter. I think he had 13 in the first frame. That's become a theme now where he drops double figures in the first quarter. He leaves for his rest. And then when he comes back in, the Wolves are, you know, discombobulated, or the opposing team is adjusted for how they want to guard Towns. And he typically, you know, he doesn't score at that rate throughout the game, right? He's not dropping 40 every night. But the double-digit first quarter has become a regular staple of the Karl Anthony Towns experience over the past several weeks. The second quarter belonged to Anthony Edwards. He had a big second quarter, had 20-plus points at halftime. The Timberwolves offense as a whole was just completely clicking in all cylinders, and the Towns to Malik Beasley connection was there, or at least Beasley's presence on the floor, helping to space the floor, allow Towns to have more room to operate. That mattered. But the Wolves really, they didn't even get into that much offense. They were just playing so fast and forcing the Rockets to play at their speed. And the Rockets have no problem playing fast, as evidenced by their 132 points in this game. But the Wolves sped this game up so much and got so many easy buckets in transition, so many contests and release, a couple cherry pick baskets. It was all in there. But in the half court, they weren't even really running much offense. It was basically simple motion, simple back cuts that they were getting, and intelligent cuts, right? The Timberwolves are starting to figure out how to cut off of each other. I mean, there was one play, it was an Edwards dunk towards the end of the first half when Anthony, I forget who the first player was, but there was a player that cut from the elbow and Edwards backfilled the vacated spot on the floor, hesitated and cut to the basket, made eye contact with Towns. Towns delivered a perfect pass. Edwards got a two-handed dunk cutting from the right elbow, and Towns was kind of in the mid post on the left hand side of the floor, just beyond kind of the elbow extended on the left side of the floor. And it was just perfect timing and spacing by Anthony Edwards to know where the vacated spot on the floor was, to time his cut perfectly, and then to obviously catch and finish on a great pass from Towns. But it was kind of a consistent, steady diet of these back cuts. The Rockets had no, the Rockets are aggressive in general, right? They're a young, aggressive team. They were overplaying everything, and the Wolves were getting all these back cuts, and the Rockets just weren't able to recover and stay in front. And the help defense was non-existent for Houston throughout the night. That was probably the biggest takeaway on the Houston side, is as aggressive as they were trying to be at the point of attack and at times disruptive, especially the second half. We'll talk more about that here in a minute. There was no help defense for the Houston Rockets, and the Timberwolves were able to take advantage to the tune of 80 first half points. And the offense certainly slowed down in the second half. I mean, we're talking about, they still scored 36 in the third quarter, and 59 for the second half would be a nice half any other night. But when you allow 64 in the second half, like they did in this game, and when you scored 80 in the first half, you know, a 59 point half isn't quite as exciting anymore. But at any rate, the Timberwolves offense in this game was phenomenal. Obviously a bad defensive team in Houston, but an impressive showing nonetheless, especially early in this game. The Timberwolves were really clicking in all cylinders. And again, the Malik Beasley dynamic is super fascinating, as he's been good when he's been in the starting lineup this year. That's something, a drum that I was beating frequently early in the year. I was calling for him to be in the starting lineup on opening night. And when he was struggling in November, I was saying, put him in the starting lineup. He needs to play with other good players, because he's only an effective high-volume three-point shooter in catch-and-shoot and transition situations, and I was worried that he was going to be miscast in this high-usage, high-volume scorer role off the bench. Well, that hasn't necessarily been the case. But when he does get the chance to fill into the starting lineup, I feel like he proves my point that I've been trying to make all along, is he makes life easier for Towns and also Anthony Edwards to give him some more space to operate. The threat of the Beasley shot from the perimeter impacts opposing defenses and how they can guard the Timberwolves. And then also his actual production and confidence level seems to rise when he's playing with Towns and the Timberwolves starters. Okay, that's my first takeaway. I have a couple additional takeaways I want to get to next that became evident over the course of the game. We're gonna hit that next. Then we'll look at the individual studs and duds from this one. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. This is the time of year. Now, we're in April, but we're still only a quarter of the way into the calendar year. And it's the time that me and probably most of you have pretty much given up on all of our New Year's resolutions. But not this year. I'm sticking to my resolution to eat right, and that is a big thank you to Built Bar. It almost feels like it's not really a resolution, though, because I love eating Built Bars. Have you tried Built Puffs? If not, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best-tasting bars. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, they're actually a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. You could get Puffs flavors like yummy cinnamony churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, delicious. They're going to be your new favorite. All Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and that includes Puffs. They're all low calorie and high protein. They're better than just a typical candy bar. A candy bar could be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories, but most Built Bars, you can see this on the website at built.com. They have just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, only 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Again, candy bars, 200 plus calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs, and there's tons of delicious flavors at built.com. And at Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first and then figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they really do pull it off every single time. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. It's the best way to find out what happened the night before in the NBA. If you were locked in on the Wolves game on Sunday and didn't watch the rest of the league, maybe you missed, I don't know, the Lakers lost to Denver earlier in the day on Sunday. Check out the Locked On Now podcast. You can hear what each of those Locked On Lakers hosts, Locked On Nuggets hosts, what they said about the game. It's better than just looking at box scores or scrolling through Twitter. So be sure to check out the Locked On Now pod wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay, additional takeaways beyond the positives. So I started the show on kind of a, I don't know, melancholy might not be the right word, but a measured note, right? This was the Timberwolves were favored over, we'll talk about betonline.ag here in a minute. They were favored at betonline.ag by, or at betonline, excuse me, betonline.net by 13.5 before this game. They ended up only winning by 7. They were up by as many as 27 points in this game, the Timberwolves were, and ended up winning only by 7. So clearly something went awry in this one. We can't be all sunshine and roses. In postgame, Carl Anthony Towns was pretty frustrated. Chris Finch was a little frustrated as well. This was a game where, I mean, I'll admit, when the Timberwolves put Towns back in the game, what, seven and a half minutes left in the game in the fourth quarter, the Wolves were up by 22 at that point. It's like, what? Why? You know, just hang on a couple, two, three more minutes. If the Wolves are still up, you know, call it 16 plus with 5 minutes, to 4 minutes to play, then, you know, you kind of let it play out, right? Do you really need to put Towns back in the game? They did. What happened in the second half was it started with sloppiness on offense. That was actually my biggest issue. And it really started with the second unit stint in the third quarter of the second half. So, or I should say midway through the third quarter. In the first half, the bench was phenomenal. And that's really where the Wolves started to pull away, was late in the first quarter, early second quarter. The Timberwolves bench completely outclassed the Rockets bench. And we've seen that in these games against inferior teams, is the Timberwolves bench is very good. And most bad teams have an okay starting five that can at least be competitive, but a pretty miserable bench in most cases. And this is exactly what happened. The Timberwolves bench outplayed the Rockets bench in the first half. Timberwolves built this massive halftime lead. They scored 80 points in the first half. The Timberwolves came out of the locker room just fine. The starters were great. More Anthony Edwards in the third quarter. Carl Anthony Towns. But then when the Timberwolves bench came out on the floor, at some point late in the third, they kind of started to cede some ground to the Rockets. That continued into the fourth quarter. It ended up being kind of D'Angelo Russell and the Timberwolves bench that combined to really start to give up the lead. And that's when things started to turn. It wasn't the starters. And D'Lo was a part of this. It was, weirdly enough, it was like D'Angelo Russell. It was a lineup that had D'Lo and Torian Prince and Malik Beasley. I think Ant was on the floor for a lot of it. And that's where the Rockets kind of started to gain their edge. It was turning the Timberwolves over. D'Angelo Russell had 5 turnovers in this game. And I don't know exactly how many were in the late third, early fourth quarter, but I'd be willing to bet a decent chunk of them were, a decent chunk of those 5. He had 5 turnovers in this game. And I mean, the Rockets turned the Timberwolves' sloppy offense into their own offense, which is exactly what the Timberwolves do to teams that they play against, is wreak havoc, generate turnovers, force the, you know, take the ball away from the opposing team and turn it into easy transition points. And the Rockets did that to the Wolves in the second half of this game. And then the sloppy offense turned into lackadaisical defense. We saw a little bit of it in the first half. I mean, even though the Wolves scored 80, they gave up 68 to the Rockets. Part of that's the pace of the game, the high volume of overall possessions, because the teams were getting out and running so much, running after makes virtually every time down the floor. The Timberwolves are finally playing to the pace that Chris Finch really wants them to play to. Well, I shouldn't say finally, they're second in pace on the season, but this was a breakneck speed in this game. And in the second half, the defense was a complete matador defense for the Timberwolves. There was no point of attack defense, no sense of urgency. The rotations were not crisp. It felt like every time Finch called a timeout, you saw like a minute burst of dedicated defense from the Timberwolves, and they would completely fade. And that's what allowed the Rockets to not just hang around. They weren't even really hanging around. This was a 27-point game. It was 22 midway through the fourth. The Rockets got it down to 8 with about 3.5 minutes to play. And it was still single digits, kind of hovering in that 8 to 11-point range in the final minute and a half of this game. Far closer than it ever should have been. Again, the Timberwolves' sloppy offense generated easy opportunities for the Rockets. And then in turn, the transition defense, the half-court defense was not good for Minnesota in this game. The transition defense was downright miserable for the Timberwolves in this game. It just too many easy buckets for Houston, and that's exactly how they got back into the game. So I singled out D'Lo a little bit, and I think that that's fair. He did not overall have a great game. I know that the 22 and 9 and 4 steals is nice, but I mean, the 5 turnovers, not great. The defense, the point of attack defense, not great. The fact he was on the floor when this run happened for Houston was not great. Jordan McLaughlin only played 13 minutes in this game. He was fantastic in the first half. 9 points. He made 3 of 4 three-point attempts. He was actually a team high plus 11 in this game, for whatever that's worth. But Jordan McLaughlin is really good and kind of got the short end of the stick in the second half. Should have probably played a little bit more in this one, given the struggles the Wolves are having defending at the point of attack. Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green basically took turns having pretty open lanes, just kind of forays into the paint one after another and doing damage. The Timberwolves did not block shots like we're accustomed to seeing. They did not rebound the ball that well. They were -4 on the glass in this game. And while they turned the Rockets over 23 times, they committed 19 turnovers of their own. So again, sloppy offense to easy offensive possessions for the Rockets, easy transition buckets, and then mediocre half-court defense with lackadaisical help defense and a lack of ability to really secure the glass. The Rockets did get 11 offensive rebounds, 6 of them from Şengün, and that's what allowed the Rockets to not just hang around, but get back this game down to 8 points with just a few minutes to play and force the Timberwolves to actually play this thing all the way out. I mean, they had 3 starters play 35 minutes. Their big 3 all played 35 minutes in this game, which is not what Chris Finch wanted to happen. Okay, final point. This should probably go without saying, but man, this cannot happen the rest of this week. This is the easiest game the Wolves are going to have the rest of the way. Now, Denver won Sunday, but Utah lost again this weekend, and the Timberwolves still have a shot at getting into the 6th seed. I mean, obviously the probability is shrinking by the day, but with that win against Denver on Friday night, it still leaves it as a real possibility. Now, Utah is actually only a game and a half in front of the Wolves after their loss Saturday. The Wolves win on Sunday. So the Utah thing is possible too, but the Timberwolves don't have the tiebreaker against Utah. Remember, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Jazz, 1 3 out of 4 against Denver. So the Denver, even though Utah is a half game closer to the Timberwolves, or the Timberwolves are half game closer to Utah, the Denver possibility is actually still better. And also, Denver's remaining schedule is much harder. So it's still a possibility. The rest of these games matter, right? And you can't play like they played against the Rockets, especially in the second half. They play like they did in the second half against the Rockets. They're not going to beat anybody. I mean, they didn't beat the Rockets in the second half of this game, right? But I mean, let's see, who's next? So it's home for Washington on Tuesday. Obviously a winnable game. Home for San Antonio Thursday. Same thing. But then Chicago next Sunday, which is a Sunday evening game against the Bulls to close out the regular season. At that point, we probably will have a pretty good sense for whether or not it's feasible the Wolves could end up in the 6th spot. But I'll tell you what you don't want is a couple of lackadaisical wins or maybe a win and a loss split, you know, maybe against the Wizards and the Spurs this week, and then a bad loss to the Bulls on Sunday, and you back into the play-in potentially against the LA Clippers, who are very confident and playing well right now. The Timberwolves cannot afford to have that be the outcome of the final week of the regular season. They need to stay on point. They need to win convincingly at home against Washington and San Antonio. Now, we know the Wolves play much better at home, so I think it's very possible the Wolves win those games in blowout fashion. But they're done with their road schedule now, period. I mean, they could sweep win out the rest of their games, sweep their final three games of the season and win 48 games this year. But playing the Bulls next Sunday will not be easy, especially if the Timberwolves play like they did against in the second half against the Rockets on Sunday. Okay, let's close the show today by looking at individual studs and duds. We're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our title sponsors from today's show, and that, of course, is our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championships odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season and more. I mentioned earlier, the Timberwolves were 13.5-point favorites at BetOnline.net coming into Sunday's game against the Rockets. I would have actually bet on the Wolves at -13.5. Turns out it would have looked like a really good bet, at least up until midway through the fourth quarter. The Wolves were up 27. They're up 22 with just a few minutes left in this game, 7 minutes or so left. And then they end up only winning by seven. So obviously they would not have come close to covering that ultimately. But as high of a line that was, I wouldn't have hated that. Honestly, if I had chosen to bet it, that's the side I would have bet on. But at any rate, BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, individual studs and duds from the Wolves' win over the Rockets on Sunday. Number one's going to be Anthony Edwards. There were some sloppy moments. The defense wasn't perfect, but it was far from perfect from Ant. Although, again, I don't want this to get lost. It's the narrative from his rookie year, and rightfully so, was he was atrocious defensively. I just want to say this. I feel like it's important. On the ball, he's actually been really good this year. He's been an above-average on-ball defender. The help defense, sometimes he gambles too much. But he had a couple nice steals in this game. And as a whole, this was a good game for Anthony Edwards. The defense wasn't great in this game in particular. But that's fine. He had 33 points on 12 of 21 shooting. We'll take that. 4 of 12 outside the arc. 5 of 5 at the line. Nice to see him get to the free throw line a little bit. After discussed this last week on the show, the free throw rate had declined quite a bit for Ant. Well, the three-point attempts and percentage have gone up. His trips to the rim have gone down. His free throw rate has gone down. His ability to finish at the rim has struggled a little bit of late. This was good in all respects. This was a very well-rounded offensive game for Anthony Edwards. 33 points, again, on 21 shots, 4 made threes on 12 tries, 5 assists, which was nice to see, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block for Anthony Edwards. Only 2 turnovers. So a very good Anthony Edwards game. Be great to see him gain some momentum here over the final, now, I guess, 3 remaining games this season. Remember, he tweaked his ankle in the second, I think it was near the end of the second quarter, came back and had a poster dunk, or what could have been a poster dunk, but was still a spectacular dunk at the close of the half, like a minute after tweaking his ankle. So great to see him bounce back. That was a moment where everybody was holding their breath. But 33, 5, 4, 2 steals and a block for Anthony Edwards in this one. A very good performance. I'm going to give one to Carl Anthony Towns. It was a little bit uneven at times for Cap, but he was efficient. 28 and 11, 5 assists and a steal. 12 of 16 shooting, 1 of 3 outside the arc. Again, low volume 3-point attempts, which has kind of been par for the course here since the All-Star break. Ironically enough, after winning the 3-point shooting competition, Towns' 3-point rate has plummeted. He remains like 14th on the team in 3-point rate, or I guess 12th if you take out guys that aren't part of the regular rotation. But the fact that he's essentially last in the rotation, almost last on the roster in 3-point rate, save for Jared Vanderbilt, is absolutely insane. But obviously it's been working. 12 of 16 shooting, ultra efficient. So, I mean, that means on twos, he shot what? 11 of 13 on 2-point attempts in this game. Only 3 of 5 at the free throw line. Again, the 5 assists to the 3 turnovers. He did finish with 5 fouls, although a lot of those were kind of late and a little bit cheap. A couple of lazy offensive fouls again for Cat. He's got to clean some of those up. Been saying that, I mean, I probably said that on one show a week, maybe 2 shows a week all season long. But a good performance all the way around for Carl Anthony Towns. Third stud for me, I'm going to split it because why not? I'm going to split it between Jordan McLaughlin and Josh Okogie. Josh Okogie rejoined the rotation for the first time, actually getting real rotation minutes in months, really. He played some short minutes in a couple of games recently, you know, end of first half type defensive minutes, defensive, you know, we need to stop, let's put him in there, we don't want guys to get into foul trouble type of a thing. But he played real rotation minutes here with no Patrick Beverley, no Jaden McDaniels. And he was good. 11 points on 3 of 4 shooting, got to the line. His free throw rate has always been very good because he's aggressive at the rim and he goes into contact and also understands spacing, understands cutting, and can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim quickly. Even though he's not a great overall half-court offensive player, he is effective enough in transition and athletic enough and enough of a bulldog in the half-court to be able to draw contact and get to the line. 11 points on just 4 shots for Okogie without even attempting a 3-pointer. 2 steals and an assist. Weirdly, he had no rebounds, but he was really good in this game. Strong defensively. He had 2 steals and a block. He did get dunked on in the first half, but I mean, to his credit, stood in there. That's what he does. Great to see him get some strong minutes. 16 minutes off the bench, second in bench minutes for Josh Okogie. Interested to see if he hangs on the fringes of the rotation, if this is Chris Finch saying like, hey, we get into the playoffs, we need a few energy minutes from a defender. Let's get him, you know, keep him fresh and ready to go instead of, you know, just kind of get him into the action, right? Get him into the flow so he's prepared to play in a week if they need him in the play-in or if they need him in the playoffs as well. So good game from Josh and also Jordan McLaughlin. I said this earlier, 9 points on 3 of 4 shooting, all 3-point attempts for Jordan McLaughlin, and he made 3 of the 4. 1 assist, 1 steal for McLaughlin and a team high plus 11. Very good defensive minutes for J-Mac as well. So strong minutes from those guys. Duds for this game, I don't really have any duds. I mean, everybody played pretty well. I mean, the Wolves as a team still shot almost 60%, 41.5% from outside the arc, 80% at the line. They obviously had some turnover issues. They lost on the glass, all that stuff. The player that disappointed me the most, but had a nice line if you ignore the turnover column, is D'Angelo Russell. 22, 9, and 4 steals for D'Lo. 7 of 16 shooting, 4 of 11 outside the arc, 4 of 4 at the line, but he had the 5 turnovers and some bad minutes in the second half when the Wolves really just needed him to be solid to maintain a double-digit, a 20-plus point lead, ideally. He had just 1 rebound in 35 minutes, which is also a little bit peculiar. He had one, by the way, he had 1 rebound. Okogie had 0 in 16 minutes. McLaughlin had 0 in 13 minutes. They had a couple other guys with 2 rebounds. Beasley had 1 rebound. So the only players that had 5 or more rebounds were Towns that had 11, Vanderbilt had 6, and Naz Reid had 5 in just 13 minutes. Nobody else had more than, well, I guess Anthony Edwards had 4, and nobody else had more than 2 in this game for the Wolves. Just insane. Now, again, not that many rebounds because both teams shot the lights out. There was a lot of easy transition scoring, but still, not what you want to see from your guards when it comes to D'Lo, Okogie, McLaughlin on the glass, combining for 1 rebound, all 3 of those guys. So strong offensive night, shooting the ball, scoring the ball, assisting the ball for D'Lo, but some sloppy passing, some inopportune mistakes in the second half of this one. And he's not a dud. I'm not going to give him a dud because he played well overall. This is a tricky one. So I'll just leave that out there that this was not his best game. Okay, that's all I have on the show today. On Tuesday, I want to peek ahead, or I guess peek back. Last week, ESPN put out their future power rankings. The Timberwolves moved quite a bit in those rankings. I want to talk a little bit about that and the ranking system as a whole, where the Wolves sit. We'll also peek ahead at the final 3 games. I'll give a quick prediction on what I think will happen. We'll look at the schedules for Denver and Utah as well. That'll all come up on Tuesday's show. And also, throughout the week, we're going to be announcing some exciting stuff at Locked On. There's some exciting announcements that, if they're not already out there yet, you're going to see them soon, related to Locked On in Minnesota, Locked On, which includes, of course, Locked On Wolves, Locked On Vikings, Twins, and Wild, and I guess Gophers as well. So be sure to stay tuned for all that information. We'll talk about it here on the show as well. So that's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, and thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, the show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube. You can also find this show on any of your favorite audio platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey, and beyond. You can follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, CKEN. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Of course, Locked On Wolves is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.